Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to News of My Fiancé with Morgan Jones and one DJ Ambush.
I'm DJ Ambush.
I was waiting.
Yeah.
I was waiting.
I saw it. I saw it. Thank you. Thanks for leaving that door open. Am I loud?
Yeah, no.
I'm wearing someone else's headphones and my life is over. Can't hear myself correctly. Good morning to everyone. Ambush is yawning in your ear.
Sorry about that, guys.
Again, I can't hear anything. So if I start yelling, yell at me in the text message. Oh, that's better.
There you go.
Hey.
Yell at me in the text message.
Yeah, to tell me to be quiet. Right. You know?
Yeah. Guys.
That's happened before, and I appreciated it.
Guys, I tell her to be quiet all the time. Am I right? Yeah.
Are you?
I don't know.
Are you right?
I don't know. That's how it goes. You got to follow patriarchy with am I right?
You know, the funny thing is I was going to come here today and give you some big accolades.
You should still do that. You should probably still.
Probably not going to do it now.
Not so much for me.
Simply because you've just acted this way.
No, not so much for me, but for the other men out there that need to hear a woman give another man accolades.
Well, I don't have any
uplifting.
Now.
It's uplifting.
I forgot them.
I'll do your intro. Residents of Potham City. I give to you today an innovator, a wordsmith, a woman out of time.
A woman not of time?
Out of her time.
Oh!
A visionary, one Morgan Jones.
That is pretty good.
Thanks.
And what was that for again?
Accolade you're about to bestow upon
me. Oh, I'm sorry. There looks to be a text message. Oh, Michelle.
Michelle, Michelle.
Good morning. It says, good morning. Good morning to Morgan and DJ Ambush, but who's the guy talking? And this is what I like to call community.
Michelle, go back to sleep. I won't have it. But who's that guy talking?
Who is that guy? Weird.
Funny.
Okay, hilarious. So I believe it was it this version of News with My Fiancé, or was it a Monday night when I told on you and Bron about being basically a frat house while I was gone?
It was Thursday morning.
Okay, so then I am doing it right. I remembered correctly. I am no Joe Rogan. When I make a, you know, when I have a reason to come back and say, either I was wrong, the story has updated.
It's like an evolution.
There's an evolution. Mm-hmm. The best thing to do is do it on the platform that you did the whatever on. Yeah. I came here. I was honest. That's not always the best thing to do. You know, sometimes you're honest about how your partner and child are 12-year-old boys when left. No?
No, I was just laughing. Because I was like, wow.
That is what she said. Yeah. I want to say that it's been a very tough 2 weeks with me and my parents and Lily, our little caregiving team. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
We're a duo, but they, the parents are like 18 people. You know, it just depends on the day. You don't know which version you're going to get. You might get four different moms in the same day. Sorry, I'm getting off track. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back.
Wait, where we got? I mean, I'm not for the ride, but where we got?
Oh, yeah, I appreciate you. The way that my life is not under my control in the way that I would like it. And I don't mean like I need, you know, I'm not a type A type of person, I don't think. But I do like to have a little, you know, say over my day or a schedule or...
You don't want to be programmed.
Life. I don't want to be programmed. And my parents are trying to program me. All while I'm trying to program them. It is a very tricky situation. But it has... The days are getting longer, right? And the last week and a half, 2 weeks, we've been putting in some extra hours out there. Yeah. And it's been really long days. 8 to 8 type of, you know, like... And I want to give Ambush his flowers for taking care of so many of the things that I would normally be taking care of. Because, one, I'm not there, and I still want to make sure that my family eats and, you know, doesn't live in a filthy home.
True.
And they are handling the scandal. Not only is he taking care of the things he normally does, but also taking care of the things that I normally do. And, big and, picking up my slack on my projects and has been folding every piece of laundry that I washed. And I would like, I don't have a soundboard, but I would like some big reggae horns, a bang, bang, a Don DeMarco.
Wow.
For one, DJ Ambush.
Man, you know what? I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything prepared. They just told me to show up. I didn't know I was going to be getting anything tonight. But yeah. But on the other hand, you know, stay ready. You won't have to get ready.
Oh.
I would like to thank the Academy.
Oh, gee. Okay.
What? Why can't I start thanking the Academy? I'm going to get to God. Everyone's like, you got to make sure you keep God in there. I was going to do God at some point. Thank you. Baby, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
For sure. For sure.
Very much.
I'll say this, you know, again, you make it easy. You're a really good communicator. You be communicating what's important. You know,
I'm so worried.
Sometimes those text messages are responded to. Sometimes they're not even seen. You know, when you're texting me and Brie, and you gotta text us separate, like, "Hello, did you guys get my text message?" Oh yes, sorry. Or oh no, I didn't even see it because I was doing God knows whatever Ambush is always doing.
Yeah,
I totally missed it. But yeah. If you'd have asked me a year ago, "Hey man, do you think you have enough gas in the tank or time in the day to do this other stuff?" I'm like, it's impossible. Where can I find it? But hey, man, just get the crap done. Just get the crap done. There's always things you can shift around. Whatever can be done to, you know, make things a little less stressful around the house while you have mountains on each of your shoulders right now. I'm for it.
I really appreciate it.
I want you to be able to come home and get some solace. I'd be trying to talk you down all the time. I'd be like, stop. You'd be like, well, I got the list of things I'm going to do. I got 4 hours left. And when I knock out, I'll be like,
that's annoying.
I'd be like, so seeing how you just got off your first, second, and third job, maybe be done with work for today. Maybe just, you know, open Candy Crush and catch up on your word games. Like, do that.
Ah, the word games, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yesterday, I thought I was never going to get the Wordle. I was 2 guesses in. I was like, there's no way. What's this going to be? Guess what? Wordle in 3. You know? No hints.
Oh.
You know? Huh? Sometimes your brain starts working when you get a half day.
You're quite the guesser.
Oh, okay.
I was giving you some props.
It's more than guessing. But thank you. I mean, I can tell you don't play.
Wow. Okay.
It takes no skill? You trying to say it takes no skill?
Plenty of skill.
It doesn't take any?
Plenty of skill. Yeah.
Knowledge in the old noggin?
It takes a lot of skill.
Got to know a couple of words.
It does.
Yeah.
Woo.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
We don't have any news stories because we have Monday's stories because we didn't get to Monday's stories.
Because you, our faithful listeners, that chimed in on Monday's show. It was a full conversation, man. We were just chatting it up with you guys.
We really were.
Covered a lot. We didn't get a chance to get to our stories.
Not a one story.
Yeah, so we got our stories for today.
I do want to, before we move forward.
Yeah.
We did a lot of talking about the Sean Combs
documentary,
The Reckoning, executive produced by one Curtis 50 Cent Jackson.
Correct.
Shout out to the director of that documentary.
I wish I remember
Alexandria.
Okay.
Don't remember her last name
incredible.
In this moment.
Incredible.
Singleton, I think, actually.
Incredible. Oh, man. I pull out my phone right now, but it's quite the distraction. But I have IMDb on my home screen. It's very helpful.
It's true. Stapleton, not Singleton. Stapleton.
Alexandria Stapleton?
Yes.
Amazing.
And
director.
Just Alex Stapleton,
Alex Stapleton. Okay.
Is the looking like the stage name. What has come from that documentary conversation wise, most recently that I saw was a few, and we're always going to run into the patriarchy Patricks and the yes. Patricias.
Yes.
Who really miss, you know, the forest for the trees. And they're like, well, why would 50 Cent be kicking a man when he's down?
Morgan, who would say something like that?
Well, apparently Marlon Wayans said that one.
Cool.
And sort of on some like, you know, this is messy. 50 doesn't like Diddy. And so, you know, as a, this is what Marlon said.
Mm-hmm.
As a producer or director of anything, you are shaping a narrative, creating a narrative, and you can make people believe whatever it is that you want them to believe.
Great.
With that story. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And it's an interesting truth that he's trying to tell in light of who he's telling it for, right?
Right.
Like, hey, man, documentaries can be totally misleading, as if folks don't know that. But I guess there's maybe a person out there that doesn't know.
Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of people.
But there's also the idea that because there is some sort of, you know, bitterness between 50 and Diddy, that there is, you know, falsities.
Yeah. Treachery at work.
A hit piece, if it were. A hoax.
A hoax.
Is it really a big deal? You know? And not only are they focusing on the messenger rather than who isn't even the messenger, really. Like executive producing something, I think there's a big misconception on what that necessarily means to different things that can be executive produced. That said, I think it is really interesting that people are mad at 50 Cent for putting this documentary out and saying things like, you know, he's just Diddy's number one hater type thing when no one is saying the stuff isn't true. They're not saying Diddy didn't do any of these things. They're not saying Diddy had reason to do any of these things. There's the defense isn't that Sean Combs is not guilty and so he shouldn't be in jail and you're now kicking a man while he's down. It's, hey man, that's a successful black man right there. Why would you kick him while he's down? What? We watched him kick Cassie while she was down a million times.
You take a pause right there. You take a pause right there, Morgan Jones.
Okay.
Because we have a text message from C's. And C says, we're kicking him while he's down the same way he kicked Cassie while she was down at the hotel with no mercy.
Good morning, please.
What the heck, man?
This is so to hear Marlon say that, I was like, you're even using that phrase?
Yeah. Yeah, Marlon.
While we watched him kick her literally while she's trying to run away from you, I'd say kicking while down.
Reverse shout out to Big Boy for not pushing back on that.
Oh.
Or you know what? Let me pause on that because I haven't seen the full interview. I just saw a clip. And I don't know how that was edited. And we are in the world of all the edits.
Yeah, so true.
I'm going to pause on that.
Yes, he said, Diddy got in front of the cameras as was performative about his innocence until the video came out. Ooh. Then we had to hear his I'm sorry speech after he lied pass.
Right.
Damn, I will never forget that moment of Diddy being like unequivocally, absolutely.
Under no circumstances
is this true. These made up accusations. These floozies. Mm. I am a man of God. My name is Love.
Then that video,
I did nothing.
Then that video dropped.
That man was in Panama somewhere.
I
was in a bad place.
You know,
dark time.
If I've ever hurt anyone. Boy, if you don't.
First of all, ain't no ifs.
Yeah.
First of all, ain't not one if.
Shut it down.
Second, you've hurt so many people. Verbal apologies will do absolutely zero in this scenario. None. But it is exactly, you know, the example of how we end up collectively talking about the wrong things, the wrong part of a story, the wrong part of what to be radicalized by if it's going to happen. There are so many people that are going to have watched this trial, have listened to the banter, the all of the misinformation around it, the indoctrination of patriarchy, and they're going to come away with it the same way people have come away with that man was overly prosecuted. He was overly investigated. He, you know, this was a witch hunt, a warlock hunt.
If you will.
If you will. And that, you know, women just be lying and they crazy.
But you ain't know that, Morgan?
That women be lying.
Just be lying.
Yeah, you know, all the time.
You know?
All the time.
Primarily because there's so many benefits to it.
Yeah, especially when you get caught.
Yeah.
But especially when you get caught by a man that hits.
Yeah.
You know, or controls your entire financial future or your career.
Bruh.
Or your face or your body or your you know? Man made that woman shave her head. Like there's so much to be not studied because it's been studied. There's so much to be dismantled about how men have a quest for power and what that power means and how they flex it, abuse it, use it. We're still in protection mode of the men doing the harm. Meanwhile, that man's going to get out of jail at some point, pretty soon, you know, if he doesn't get pardoned, if he doesn't get the all clear from a former friend, Trump, then the regular process is he is going to get out of jail and he is going to try to retaliate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every single person that he possibly can. And those things are not taken into consideration the way that they need to be. Those things, women are still not believed enough for folks to get past what the trial would have meant. You know what I mean? Like, for that person who's showing up like Cassie, like Capricorn Clark, or any other woman who has Dawn, like any other woman that has had to deal with not just his verbal abuse, his physical abuse, his the power dynamic, the career being in literally his hands. In order for them to talk about that and talk about it publicly, there is a consequence. There are consequences.
They're paying him now.
Some.
Yeah.
Some. And imagine what they're paying in this moment has, I don't even know, like, probably doesn't measure up at all to what they are expecting, what they know can happen, what they have witnessed, what they have experienced. They know that they have not experienced the worst of him yet.
Right.
And that is a thing that is real hard to explain to somebody who has a completely different view of the person you're talking about. If we're talking about someone powerful and famous and has been a part of people's, the fabric of their lives, you know, for however long, they don't want to hear all of that. They don't want necessarily their, you know, idea of this person to change. And so there's going to be a lot of excuses made, a lot of reasons, a lot of thoughts of like, well, I mean, but do she be tripped? But women do be lying.
Right.
You know, we don't move forward and talk about what it looks like for them after telling that. One, too many people don't believe them, tell them they're lying. And then there is still an incredible fear of that person. And if the other people have no reason to fear that person, it is really hard, really hard to explain the level of terrifying that person can be to you. And maybe you've only seen it to you. But this is like a, you know, he was tampering with witnesses while in jail.
Yeah.
Before pre-trial.
There was no point he wasn't tampering with witnesses. He was tampering with witnesses, and now we found out basically he was tampering with jurors.
I mean, he was doing exactly what.
Yeah. From inside the courtroom and outside the courtroom. What is that? That movie.
I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, Seized. Yeah, Seized bodied it. What was that movie with John Cusack? I can't remember. Oh man, Gene Hackman. And Gene Hackman is, I think he's either I don't think he's the lead lawyer. He may be the consultant that's brought in to help pick the jury and also direct them.
Oh, that's Runaway Jury.
Runaway Jury?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
That movie was amazing in a way, like, wait a minute, what? This is a whole different.
It's an industry.
Yeah.
It's a whole, yes.
Jury selection, jury manipulation.
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely.
Puff had eight big time lawyers on this. What? They held
multiple firms.
Right.
The amount of money that man spent to do a propaganda campaign.
Right. He held his team, Puff's team, held daily gaggles with influencers and were giving them transcripts daily. Like,
with narrative.
Right.
Not just like, here's your transcript of what happened in the court today. It's like, this is how we prove Diddy's innocent.
And all of this is important, you guys. It's because the jury wasn't sequestered. So, I mean.
Yeah. So C said, Morgan knows women be lying. That's why she's ambushed on Morgan on Monday Night Raw. And you're right. that he said, seriously, though, when you have men coming to the defense of unquestioned abusers of power and authority, you can't help but wonder what they do behind closed doors to others. See? Louder.
Say it. Yeah.
For real. Run that back. That's it. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. And it doesn't, it honestly, it just doesn't take much anymore. People are telling on themselves left and right. You know what I mean? Like, as C says, if you're coming to the defense, if a man is coming to the defense of an unquestioned abuser, you're waiting your turn, my man.
That's
you,
it.
Like, you literally can't wait to be the one that abuses the power. Like, that's the agenda for that person. And it's real easy for people who are harmed by these folks to see, and it is not nearly as easy as, you know? So if these abusers are, you know, A, not doing anything like this in front of other men, not telling their other, their guy friends, this is what I do at work, you know? There's an interesting dynamic to me where there are people that want to, you know, abuse power, but then also don't want other people to know.
Right.
But also want to be the most powerful. So you got to tell somebody something, you know, like it's a weird little place to be. If you are, you know, say sexually harassing someone who works for you, you might tell your friends, and your friends, I mean, I just don't know. Men's groups chat are so interesting. I would hope that someone would be like, that sounds like harassment, or that sounds like assault. But I don't think that's what happens.
I think,
I think someone says, yeah.
That's crazy.
I did this thing. And then everyone in the chat is like, oh, wow, bro, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. What'd she say?
Well, also, the version that we're going to get in the chat is going to be the tweaked version that sounds far less like the coercion or assault that it actually was. So that plays a factor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, we can move on. I didn't mean to talk about Diddy for that long.
Yeah. But didn't you?
Diddy.
Kind of forced you. He's that type of person. He demands, you know.
It's true.
He demands all of the attention beyond himself. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Hale and Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
X-Ray. Well.
Yeah.
So a few more things in that we could get to.
Mm-hmm.
I know one that you were real excited about.
Extraction. Listen, Brianna pulled me in again. She said, Dad, there's this reality TV show, this competition show. You've got to start watching. Got to get you and Morgan in on this thing. And it's called Extraction. It is on Hulu. It is absolutely amazing. We can pick some shows, man. What was the other one that I love so much with the two teams? Or not the two teams. But the
Outlast.
What? Come on.
Okay, so let's just be a little bit more detailed there. Ooh. This is a survival show.
Yeah.
Which Brie was very big on survival shows for a while. And I mean, clearly still is because she has now pulled us in. We now watch these shows. Extraction. I remember seeing the like
trailer for it,
promo. Not a full trailer, but yeah, like a quick promo and being like, that's an interesting premise, but never moved back to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And the premise is that there's a team, you know, each team is three people. So there's two people at a headquarters and one person is a survivalist. So they're out in the woods and they're in Canada.
And they're, to be clear, they're all amateur survivalists.
They are all amateur survivalists. And also, this show clearly does not explain what the full show is to the people before they go. Because they get dropped in the woods, the survivalists get dropped in the woods, and they have they're on their own. And then the family gets to, or the the whoever their people back at headquarters are. They're doing a, you know, their game is basically trying to get their survivalists all of the gear, the tools, the food, whatever it is, the supplies, thank you, that they need throughout the show or the game. And there are people that are, you know, survivalists that are like, and I've had it. Are you guys going to come get me? Someone come get me. Extract me.
Right.
There are families that are like, I can't watch, you know, you suffer. I'm going to have to extract. There's 250 grand on the line. Only one team wins.
Starts out total of 12 teams.
Starts out a total of 12 teams. And they have, I was going to say, they clearly don't know everything when they go into it, because at least two people said, well, I thought we'd like be with other people out here. I didn't think we'd be alone. Mm-hmm. This has been such an interesting thing to watch, because they have cameras out there, the survivalists. They're right. talking to the people back at headquarters. But the people in, you know, they can't talk back.
Right.
Seeing people become cutthroat in reasons or in moments when they absolutely do not need to be is a very interesting situation for me. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Is seeing people do like really cold blooded moves for no reason.
Yeah.
Like this ain't strategy.
No.
That's punishment.
That's it.
So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I love the show.
Bree gave me it's amazing when your people know you. Because the way she sold it to me was, detach now from every single person. Don't even start to like anyone.
Oh, wow.
And she had only seen 6 episodes or something like that. Mm-hmm. But she was like, nah, this is not like, you're not going to be like, I love this group. I love this team. And that's what these shows do. Like they get us rooting for people.
Yeah.
She was like, detach now. That is just not even a thing.
Make no attempt.
She was like, this is not, these are people you're not going to be excited about. And boy, was she right.
Heck of a show. I love it.
Yeah.
So we're like we got 2 episodes left.
Yeah. We're on 9. We get to watch 9 next.
Yeah, we're finishing.
And there's only 10 episodes.
Yeah, so. We're finishing this out next 48 hours.
Oh yeah,
wrapping that up.
Lily and John told us we are absolutely not ready for the finale. That there's just no way to even describe how unready we are. So
wow. Spin us upside down.
Yeah,
I'm about it.
Is anybody else out there watching Extraction? Do not spoil. But are you watching?
Right.
Or did you watch? Do you like? Did you hate? Do you like survival shows? These things are so much fun for me.
Yeah.
Although it is deceiving. It definitely, a lot of them make certain things look really easy and then don't talk about, you know, the toll it takes on your body if you're freezing for 24 hours a day
not having food,
not, you know, only having a little bit of water, all of that. Anyway, okay, yeah. I know. Music break.
Yeah.
I'm talking too much.
That's all right.
That's what I do.
It's all right. I will say this. It, you know, when you're watching a show like that with your family and the context of the show is a family dynamic, you do learn a lot. You definitely learn a lot. And they decided very quickly that I would have to be the person in the field and could not be the person at headquarters because I'm too much of a softy and I would extract either one of them too early.
Yeah. We would have like parameters, like if I say extract me, wait 2 days, and Ambush would be like, nope, not doing it. Do you see her? She cried. We're going to have to get her out.
I like to think that I'm tougher than that, but
With your children?
Oh, did you hear the last part?
I'm sorry.
I was like, but I'm not.
Oh, okay. But my question still stands. Do you think you're tougher than that with your kids, like in your mind? Yeah. And then
listen, this is how I'm going to rationalize my decision to pull you guys earlier than we planned our strategy, right? I would be like, neither one of them knew what they were getting into. So when they agreed to it, they didn't know what they were agreeing to.
Yeah.
So obviously, now that we see what they're actually dealing with, I got to make the decision, man. I got to make the hard call.
And you know what that sounds like to me?
Talk to me.
You making decisions for other people when there was an existing plan.
Yep. Name of the game.
No.
Oh, no?
Okay. Music break.
Okay. I thought that was.
I was trying to give you props today, Ambush. Let's not go backwards.
Name of the game. Yeah. Extraction. Before we go on music break, this is what we'll be discussing today in local stories. Portland School Board approves $61.5 million contract to speed up delayed construction projects. Oregon homeless youth cash pilot quietly working. And we're getting to that first. We get that out the way.
Sure.
In the national news, Bloomberg launches $20 million effort to build charter schools on HBCU campuses in Alabama. That's what's coming up next. All right, we're going to hop into this music break, and we will see you on the other side. Welcome back to News of My Fiancé with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979.
And I don't know where, you know, enough of you are right now. We said good morning a long time ago.
Uh-oh.
You know, there have been text messages, so I know we are actually hitting the air. But where y'all at? Just wondering. Gonna get right into this story we've been trying to do for 14 shows straight now. That's a gross exaggeration.
I feel like that's our longest running story.
That we've been trying to do?
Yeah.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
That's only, honestly, because it's made it getting copied over to the next one. I think there are other stories right. that we have definitely right. been like, oh man, we got to get back to that.
And then haven't.
Then it stayed in that dock and has never been seen again. So an Oregon pilot program that sends no strings attached cash to homeless youth, young adults, is showing dramatic early results with 91% of participants reporting stable housing.
Whoa.
After 2 years.
Did you say 91%?
91% of participants.
2 years?
Reporting stable housing after 2 years. The initiative, called the Direct Cash Transfer Program, provides $1,000 a month to youths ages 18 to 24, along with optional support services. For recipients like 21-year-old Gabby Huffman, who entered the program while living in a church shelter with her infant daughter, the payments were transformative. That money allowed her to buy car insurance, attend community college, and eventually move into a duplex with a backyard.
Wow.
I mean, shout out to Gabby. I'm trying to get a duplex with a backyard.
Go ahead, Gabby.
It was the glue to the pieces I was picking up, she said.
Yeah.
The Oregon program mirrors similar efforts in New York City and elsewhere, all rooted in the idea that unconditional cash may help young people transition out of homelessness more quickly than traditional services alone. Go figure. The state is now reviewing the outcomes of its first phase, which cost $5.1 million and involved 117 participants. The stakes are high. Oregon has the eighth largest homeless population in the country and nearly as many homeless youths as Texas, despite having 1/7 of the population. With youth homelessness rising nationwide, policymakers are closely watching whether direct payments can function as a stand-in for parental financial support, a resource many housed young adults rely on, but unhoused youth often lack. I'm gonna tell you, there's a lot of housed youths that have no direct financial support from their parents outside of bills being paid, you know, like getting to live in their house.
Yeah.
While the early housing results are striking, experts caution that the long-term effects remain unclear.
Do they?
Experts are what? A similar program in New York showed reduced homelessness during the payment period, but little lasting impact on employment, education, or food security once the money stopped. I think you might be saying the answer.
Yeah. The other resources that also need to be funded.
Researchers stress the complexity of studying such programs, given the instability and trauma many homeless youth face. Quote, it's adulting while also processing really deep trauma, said Chapin Hall policy fellow Sarah Berger Gonzalez, who says longer term studies are needed before drawing firm conclusions. Oregon launched a second phase of the program in September, enrolling 120 more youths with another $5 million in state and philanthropic funding. Nonprofits, including J-Bar-J Youth Services and Ant Farm Youth Services, provide mentoring, financial literacy classes, and monthly check-ins.
Nice.
Staff say these supports are crucial, noting that cash alone cannot break cycles of poverty, though it can open doors. Early indicators show promise. Participants in the new cohort have already secured housing, started college, and obtained driver's licenses.
Let's go.
Still, program leaders warn that stable housing can be fluid and definitions differ widely, from couch surfing to long-term rentals. Even recipients like Huffman, who celebrated moving into her own apartment, described mixed experiences, including safety concerns and neighborhood challenges. As if those things wouldn't be happening on the street.
Right.
Yet she credits the program with helping her regain footing and envision a future that once felt unreachable.
I could imagine.
As Oregon continues evaluating its model, advocates emphasize that the combination of autonomy, community, and guidance, not cash alone, may ultimately determine whether the gains last. Mm. If I could just say that there is no further study needed to know that people need cash. People need money. There's no further study needed.
None.
A universal basic income is exactly what should be happening here.
Yeah.
We have done capitalism so hard that people are working three jobs and cannot afford to eat. That is not the fault of the people.
No.
People working and not being able to afford their bills is not the fault of the people. This is systemic. This is also on purpose.
Yeah.
And capitalism has, in order for it to work, it has to have an underclass. It has to have people that are downtrodden. It has to have poor. It has to have it. It doesn't work without it. And it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't function without it, but it does not work for any of us on some real, you know. I am very encouraged by that program. Happy to hear these results. Curious why more people aren't talking about it. It's almost as if they're waiting for something else to happen, some failures within the program so they can report it. Well, you know, we wanted to wait until we got the full picture.
Right.
Look how it failed.
Right.
And it won't tell you why it failed or, you know.
And then you'll find out that how it failed was somebody said, stop sending the funding.
Yep. Or they changed the way they sent the funding.
Slow the funding down so that we can show some issue.
Let's change it from direct deposits to paper checks that can only be cashed within a certain time period.
Exactly.
Like some foolishness. Some foolishness. But yeah, I mean, it's great to note the other areas that can cause issues within this program's success, but that just means fund those other resources.
Hello.
That's really it. But yeah, I can't imagine how impactful that could be for an unhoused young person. $1,000 a month. Like, Grant, are you going to find housing
for that?
No. Probably not. But add that to whatever little side hustle or underpaid job that you have.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Underpaid job that you have. And whoa, the clouds start to clear. And that having that type of, pickup, that type of motivation, that type of encouragement, stability, that's game changing. That is absolutely game changing. And, you know, getting you to a place where you can just see better. You know, and it doesn't have to be like, if I keep grinding 5 years from now. No, literally, with these payments coming in a couple of months, next month, at that place I was looking at.
Changes your trajectory and timeline a lot.
Yeah.
C said they're studying it the way that the Congress folks are doing studies on reparations.
You were right.
Correct.
Right.
We need no more studies. We need to spend zero more hours, zero more dollars studying the thing we know
works.
One that we know needs to happen in order for there to be any sort of equality, equity, in order to even. I don't know. It's interesting to see so many different groups get, talked about as in needing to be made whole and then attempt to make them whole. And then, man, if you a Black American, LOL.
Sorry about that.
LOL, we ain't got it.
Winner said, civilians just aren't ready for money. Yikes.
Well, in all honesty, you gotta teach a person to hold money before you could give it.
Because they'll drop it. And they'll just go flying across the street.
Yeah.
You know?
Won't even know.
They don't value the dollar.
They've never held it before. So they don't know what it feels like for it to slip through their fingers.
Right.
So when it does, they have no idea what just happened. And all that $1,000 is in the wind.
Look at that.
And then, a lady of the night, maybe.
We wasted our money.
Picked all that money up, and now you're mad at her.
Yeah. Malcolm said, good morning, fiancés. I'm presently on the Mac.
Good morning, Malcolm.
Not going to lie. I thought it was Friday, but was very pleasantly surprised when I heard your voices.
Malcolm. Number one, I miss you. Number two, thank you. Number three, I also thought it was Friday. I don't know how this happens, but like I have, a few markers of my week. Bless you. Thursday's a big one.
Yeah. Busy day.
Somehow, I woke up this morning, 5 a.m., and was like, oh, no, I can go back to sleep. It's Friday. Wow. I went back to sleep for 5 minutes, and I woke up panicked because it was, in fact, Thursday. I feel you.
I'm listening and enjoying as always. That's Billy Joe.
Hey, Billy Joe.
And then, of course, AJ, hi.
My babe.
I feel like I've been MIA, and I'm hyped to hear y'all this morning.
Hi, AJ. Good morning. Thank y'all. I appreciate you. Just needed to know y'all was there.
Yeah.
Need to see what's going on out there.
I am encouraged by this program. Mm-hmm. I would like to see it continue. I'd like to see it expand. I'd like to see it get, even more funding. We haven't covered it yet, but I heard there was like $21 million in houselessness funding that didn't get spent.
That's called unspent funds.
Yeah, I heard something like that.
Yeah, I did a little reading on that. Mm-hmm. I think that'll get talked about on the Monday.
Okay.
Because I'll need to do some curse words.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. You got to know when
going to need to flail some hands around, maybe flip a table. There's going to have to be some cursing because I'm sorry.
I appreciate that.
I'm telling you, Keith Wilson's war on the poor is just going gangbusters.
Kill on it. Doing it.
God bless America. Well, do we jump into a music break or do we go into one more story before a music break? Ambushed, the choices are yours.
Let's do a music break right quick. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. So be it.
And we'll be right back. Hello. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. Shout out to everybody that texted us already. Billy Joe, C's, Malcolm, AJ, Winner. Thank you so much. And of course, Michelle. Michelle does quality control. You know what I'm saying? Mondays, Thursdays, she's on the job.
Don't mess around.
At all. At all.
It's real fiance.
Yeah.
Real partner in crime.
Booyah. Okay. Do we want to hop into the school board one?
Go, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at this.
Bloomberg, right? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I do want to get to that.
So. Okay. So, we meant to cover this on Monday, but here we are on Thursday. Again, grateful for all the engagement that had to push this show to. If you haven't heard Monday's show, you need to go check out Monday's show. Faux show. Shout out to Kyle G of Residual Audio for getting those episodes edited nice and clean. I am so far behind on video edits. I'm going to try to get back on schedule with that for the new year, as in pick up with the new shows. And spend some other time later catching up with the
other time.
Yeah. But yeah.
Can I just, to your point,
sure.
Shout out to my girl, Ella. Ella texted me yesterday and was like, having to listen to your show after the fact without the ability to comment is a special kind of torture. And, you know, hard agree.
I love Ella.
If you're not here live.
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that.
You're here.
Yeah, you're here. But the ability to comment live in both places is, I think, a big factor.
Yeah. I think for the most part, especially from a podcast base, people aren't used to the ability to be that engaging.
Absolutely.
So it's like we got to keep reminding people like, hey, no, we read the text.
Yeah.
Hey, when we're doing our Monday night live show, we are in the chat.
You know, I am looking forward to the day that the chat moves too fast and I can be like, oh, couldn't even see it. Didn't missed it. Missed it. That's, hey, mods, can you let me know what happened in the chat? I look forward to that day.
Monday's show was pretty close.
It was pretty close?
It was pretty close.
I did not keep up with all the chat.
No, it was very
active. I didn't see it all.
It was fire. It's fire.
But it was really fun.
Okay.
All right, Ambush, get to work.
The Portland School Board voted Tuesday night, and this was last Tuesday, to approve a 5-year, $61.5 million contract with Texas-based Presidio to oversee several long stall construction projects, including rebuilds of 3 high schools and development of the long promised Center for Black Student Excellence. A decision followed a tense hours long debate that revealed deep divisions over cost, oversight, and the board's role in district management. Hmm. District leaders said the outside support is essential to jumpstarting the work funded by the 2020 voter-approved bond, particularly at Jefferson High School, where construction is yet to begin 5 years later. Superintendent Kimberly Armstrong said that Presidio will be accountable for managing timelines, budgets, and quality on delayed projects, arguing that the district has not been able to meet expectations on its own. Tonight is not about blame, Armstrong said. It's about restoring trust and delivering results. Skeptical board members raised concerns about spending tens of millions on consultants and questioned how the company would interact with the district's Office of School Modernization. Board member Virginia Lafort repeatedly tried to delay or amend the contract, saying she felt pressured to approve it to prevent the modernization office from collapsing. Armstrong countered that the office had already fallen apart, a remark that intensified the debate. Presidio representatives, including Sarah Norman, who is also serving as the interim director of the Modernization Office, told the board they would work alongside existing district staff. Board Chair Eddie Wang eventually cut off discussion, cautioning that challenging staffing or structural decisions fell outside the board's authority. Oregon school boards primarily oversee budgets, set district goals, and hire or fire the superintendent, though members often wade into broader operational issues. Tuesday's contentious meeting highlighted growing pains among the mostly new board and showed the increasingly blurred lines between governance and management in the district under pressure. The contract ultimately passed 5-2, with both new board members and the student representative voting no. Afterward, the board unanimously approved the purchase of the One North property, advancing plans for the Center for Black Student Excellence, a key but long-delayed component of the 2020 bond meant to support Portland's 3,554 Black students. District leaders said the decisions mark a necessary step towards rebuilding public trust and delivering long-promised improvements. While critics warn that the cost and direction of the projects will require close scrutiny in the months ahead. When I first came across this story, I checked the comments, as you know. As one does.
Your Honor, please check the YouTube comments.
She thinks she's coming.
That's me as a lawyer.
I can't remember whether it was Oregon Live, or I believe, or the Oregonian. I can't remember. I think it might have been the Oregonian.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Oregonian is Oregon Live.
Oregon Live, right. Yeah. But the comments, of course, from racists were like, you know, well, who's paying for this? And da 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 da. And why don't they use their own money? Just all the crap old, right? All the crap old. This thing was voted in. These funds were voted on and approved. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means the people of Portland have already spoken. And it's in these moments that I'm quite often reminded, when we're seeing these comments online, are these people of Portland?
No.
Who are these folks?
Camas, Washington. You know, Pendleton, Oregon.
And guess what? Camas and Pendleton. There is no Center for Black Student Excellence happening there. So you don't have to worry about being upset about it because your tax dollars aren't being spent. You didn't have to vote. Not a concern. Not a concern of yours. But here you are, outminding other people's business.
This is the story of Oregon.
Yeah.
The Oregon Trail should absolutely include that so many people came here with the idea of a white utopia and then pass that down generation to their folks of this could still be, you know,
we could still make this happen.
We could still make this happen. You know, Roseburg's currently being overrun by the immigrants, but you know, if we get it together, we can come back to, the fact of the matter is, Oregon is a big, huge state with lots of red and purple.
Right.
Mostly red. And then the most populous state, and this is not, I mean, city, this is not different for other, what end up being considered blue, you know, states, but it's really, the state itself is red. The most populous place is blue. Then you've got the people that just, all they do is complain. They don't actually vote.
Right.
They don't actually participate. They don't actually even care about what happens in their community. You know, they actually don't. They're just screeching into the wind, you know, about things they don't like. But they don't actually care about, because those things likely aren't happening in their community. And then if they are, likely not to the degree that they are saying they are impacted.
Right. I'm also curious as to how many of them are sitting home with their computers and they're getting paid to do these comments on different Facebook pages.
Is that still
in different states?
My question is with the ability to write that code real quick.
With the AI of it all.
With the bot of it all. What do you need that for? You know, does there's the industry they've
look at that. Erasing jobs. Huh?
A mess and a half.
AI's erasing bot jobs. AI is about to erase in troll jobs.
I'll tell y'all this. I tried to tell us collectively not to vote for a certain person for school board. Mm. And that certain person is up there doing a lot of things that I was like, yeah, you're being real wishy-washy about stuff. Mm. And if what your claim to fame is bringing money to districts or bringing money to, you know, initiatives, but you show up to stop.
Right.
And question and when it's time for Jeff to be rebuilt, when it's time for the student of black excellence, what's the name of the thing?
Yes.
Center
for black Center for Black Student Excellence.
Thank you. I knew I was getting that way wrong. Yeah, when you're showing up to have something to say mostly about that, I'm concerned that nobody is saying there's too many kids at Grant. Right. Like, Grant is over capacity by like 500-600 kids.
Bruh.
I'm letting that sit for a reason. Because the moment that the option was given, you live in Sabin, Irvington, Boise Elliott, now all of a sudden you have many more options of the schools you could go to. I don't mean all of a sudden. This has been years.
Right.
But this is, like, what has happened is continued disinvestment in Jeff, in Jeff's community, in the ability to hire and retain incredible facilitators. They have said so many amazing teachers at Jeff.
Yeah.
So many coaches at Jeff. So many people that have touched people's, the kids' lives for the greater moving forward.
Yeah.
It is incredibly hard to retain staff when you don't pay them enough, when you treat this school as if it is the scourge of the district. And it certainly doesn't help when anybody on the school board is sort of like, yeah, I mean, do we need, by saying you don't have to go to this school that is in your district, it has now put so much pressure on other schools to take kids that they are literally shouldn't be taking. Right. And I don't mean the kids in just Jeff's district. I mean, overcapacity is overcapacity is overcapacity. I don't care how cool the school looks. I don't care how great the teacher is. When your class is 35 to 45 kids, good luck.
Yeah, overcapacity means
not in this suffering. Age bracket. I'm sorry.
Overcapacity means everyone's suffering.
Period.
Yeah.
These aren't lectures. This isn't a lecture hall. This isn't college where there can be 100 people in the class and it doesn't actually matter. It's so different. There are currently under 400 kids at Jefferson, which if it were my, option, I'd be like sending my kids there real, real fast, real quick because there's no one there.
Yeah.
Because you might actually get a teacher that can talk to you. Maybe they know your name all 4 years.
Maybe. Could be.
Could be. But there's a disinvestment that has happened for decades at Jeff. And now you want to come in and be like, also, I don't want to invest more. No. No. Absolutely not. We do not get to do this continued faux progressivism, faux progress period.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, well, you know, we want to do that. We want to do that. A Black Student Excellence Success Center But
we'll get around to it.
We'll get around to it. We want to invest in the black community, but we'll get around to it.
Right.
And I have no problem getting right to the disinvestment, to the dismantling and the displacement. But boy, to fix something is going to be 2 to 4 centuries.
That disinvestment comes quick.
That disinvestment comes real fast.
Yeah. Super quick.
Okay. We have one more story.
Yeah.
We need to do it.
Yeah.
We did this wrong.
Yeah.
I was supposed to read the last story.
Yeah.
You were supposed to read the upcoming story. I'm going to read the upcoming story.
Yeah, I totally
jumped. And we're both going to have to talk about it real quick.
I seriously jumped the gun.
Happens to the best of you, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So as we're speaking of, you know, faux investment, I don't see this as anything other than DEI tax evasion, but let's see what y'all think about it. One Michael Billionaire Bloomberg launches $20 million effort to build charter schools on HBCU campuses in Alabama. Michael Bloomberg is expanding his philanthropic footprint in black education, which is awful, announcing a new $20 million initiative to establish K-12 charter schools on the campuses of historically black colleges and universities. The partnership, funded jointly by Bloomberg Philanthropies, my word, and the nonprofit City Fund, will support two Alabama schools designed to create direct academic pipelines into HBCUs and boost long-term career opportunities for black students. The new investment will help convert D.C. Wolf Elementary in Shorter, Alabama, into the D.C. Wolf Charter School near Tuskegee University, slated to open in 2026. It will also bolster I Dream Big Academy, a charter school launched this fall at Stillman College in Tuscaloosa, marking Alabama's first HBCU charter collaboration. Students at both campuses will have access to dual enrollment courses and internships through their host universities, which organizers say will accelerate college readiness and promote economic mobility. Quote, this is a continuation of the work that Mike Bloomberg and Bloomberg Philanthropies has been doing for over a decade, said Jasmine Jenkins, senior program officer for the foundation. The initiative builds on Bloomberg's previous education philanthropy, including a $10 million donation to the United Negro College Fund in 2022 and his 2024 pledge of $600 million to support medical schools at 4 HBCUs. Organizers say the charter school partnership is expected to expand beyond Alabama to the broader South and eventually nationwide. The announcement comes during a surge of record-level philanthropic investments in HBCUs. Keep an eye on that. With more than $800 million donated over the past several months from donors, including Mackenzie Scott and Arthur Blank. Supporters argue that connecting K-12 students directly to HBCU campuses can provide early exposure to higher education and help address persistent educational inequalities in Alabama's Black Belt, where child poverty rates far exceed state averages. Stillman College President Yolanda Page says the model is already showing results. Middle school students at I Dream Big Academy are engaging with faculty and campus resources and will be eligible for dual enrollment courses by ninth grade. The school is also generating workforce opportunities, including recent placements of Stillman graduates as teachers. There are so many ways this partnership benefits the academy, Stillman College, and the broader community, Page said. As the effort gains momentum, Bloomberg and his partners hope to spark a national network of HBCU-affiliated charter schools designed to strengthen educational pathways for Black students. Now, Ambush, I'm going to give you the floor.
Yeah.
And
listen, man, Bloomberg's moving, you know, got a couple B-nuts. Are you already cracked? he's got some money to move. Now, the programs sound amazing in the way that, you know, creating that opportunity for our youth to be interacting with college bound and college engaged members of the community at an earlier age, having like a big brother, big sister program, or just being able to engage and interact with them, I think could have such a very, very positive impact. I think this story is far less about selling us or telling us about something that we already know could have been very beneficial to us for quite some time now, and far more about why?
I got the why right over here.
Michael Bloomberg. Why? What's this a benefit to you? Following the money. What'd it do?
You want to know what I think?
I would love to know what you think. One more Morgana Jones.
Not my name.
Yeah. Elizabeth. It was merely a quote from Never Ending Story. Go ahead. The look at your face.
I can't breathe.
You don't remember from Never Ending Story?
I don't. And I don't in this moment. Oh, okay. But I what I do remember is my own life story. And I think that's why you tried to double Aunt Andre me right there. And, oh, it was just from a movie. But you know. And see, this is what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Women do be lying, but men be worse.
We be trying. Y'all be lying, we be trying.
Anyway.
Yeah.
This is philanthrocapitalism. This is not black liberation. This is not nobody's help to me. This is a way for billionaires to take over education. This is a way to take, why don't you pay your taxes so public schools are funded? Instead, I'm not going to pay my taxes. I'm going to create schools. Get Bruce Wayne on the phone. Because where are the billionaires that stop these billionaires from doing the billionaire stuff?
Facts.
I thought there were good guys with guns or something. Ain't there a good billionaire with a B-nut? No. No, there's not.
Mm-mm.
Bloomberg isn't out here funding fully resourced public schools. You know what I'm saying? He's not out here making sure that public schools are going to be not be overcrowded or have broken buildings or underpaid teachers.
No.
He's pouring money into charters because charters move public education into a privately controlled system. And putting them on HBCU campuses, to me, gives the whole thing just a cultural cover. It is literally tax evasion, but make it DEI. These are the same billionaires that told you marriage is the only thing that matters. It's merit, 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 except, oh, what we want to do. It's all of a sudden help these downtrodden black kids. They got bad education. When you're the reason that they have a bad education. Morgan, it's absolutely astounding to me. What?
You mean to tell me he's not out here trying to help these downtrodden black kids because he cares? Aren't you telling me?
I'm telling you that if billionaires can raise millions to build new charter schools, then they could have funded the schools that black kids already go to.
Boom.
They're choosing not to. That choice is ideological. That is not fiscal responsibility. This is an ideological choice. And that choice means I'm not going to make sure that kids have stability and a level playing field.
Right.
I'm going to strip the resources of public school and I'm going to make it private. And what do you think this is going to end up doing? The HBCUs at some point are going to have to then be dependent on a donor class.
Yep. Yep.
Which all colleges and universities are already a bit dependent on the donor class, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have huge endowments that you can draw from, you may need to be working that alumni a little harder than another school.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Bloomberg is not ever on the side of black people. Like, I need folks to understand that. When he gave Stacey Abrams $5 million, he was not for black liberation. He is not looking for the best and the brightest. He's not even looking for the best and the brightest black people.
Didn't he just back Cuomo?
Big money to back Cuomo.
Just back Cuomo.
Like, this is, to me, continued spits in the face, right? And anybody, especially while the actual U.S. Department of Education is being gutted by the WWE co-CEO.
Come on, man. Come on.
Like, be for real for once. We are, what? There's nothing but billionaires deciding the fate of everybody else. You don't think it's weird that they don't have an initiative here to make sure that the schools are funded, period? There's no initiative for... There's a reason this is HBCUs. There's a reason we're talking about charter schools for black kids.
And it's a trend. This HBCU investment is a trend. And I want to be in the back room where they're discussing it. Because we've been seeing a lot of this lately. I want to see what's happening. What's the long term? What's the strategy here? What are we doing? What's the end game?
I mean, in this one, I think that to strip public education in Alabama, to strip public education in the South, to absolutely make it harder for every poor, but specifically black person going through the school system, it's going to be harder. You are not going to get the education that actually serves you moving forward. You are going to get the redundant fantasy fever dream of the white dude that doesn't want his kids to know that they're the villains.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the point. Make America great again.
You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Hale and Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
Okay, I...
got some texts.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know who this is, but it says, better be quiet or Susan Dell will be in your room at midnight. If you are able to...
That's MJ's bestie.
That's who said that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, obviously. If you don't know who Susan Dell is and you have the moment right now, like you're not driving, you're not at, you know, pull your phone or your laptop out right this very second and Google Susan Dell. Mm. Go to images. yell at me later. You can come directly to me and scream in my face for telling you because it's a jump scare. I watched that video of them she and her husband announcing a philanthropic initiative that they were going to do. I can't remember what it was. but it's recent. And I text you, what's that movie that we watched recently?
Oh, yeah.
With the witch with the bangs.
Right, right. Weapons.
And it was weapons is what I was going for, because there's...
Wow. Some representation there?
I mean, it's got to feel good to be seen. You know, when you finally see yourself in a movie, it's got to be good to be seen. This one says, man, I wish I could have seen the look on Morgan's face when you asked how much she makes. Great show as usual. Also, F. Bloomberg. Morgan, you forgot to include your Southern accent when you said downtrodden black kids. You know, you're right.
Yeah.
And I also have to work on how I say black, because there's a disdain that people use when they say the word black. It's like, you know, and then blank, like it,
yeah,
it comes out like, yeah. Sorry, I yelled.
The ACK there. Yeah.
It's like ACK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. C's also said, you will not get the education, the health care, or the housing with the vouchers they push.
Mm.
They know it will cause the collapse of the entire program. That's why they offer it.
Hello, 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 hello. Yes, Susan and Michael Dell giving $1,000 payments to kids born in 2026 to 2028. Okay, I thought it was a little bit different. I thought it was something to the effect of... Oof. Less money doesn't matter. Basically, the idea is we're going to put this money in an account for you.
Is this to promote childbirth?
Probably.
Yeah.
Could be. Mm. Supposedly to help, you know, to child poverty and kids that have a bank account or have $1,000 somewhere.
Instead of investing
become
in education and art and healthcare and all the resources those kids need to
succeed,
let's give them money that will allow them to spend it on overpriced goods and services.
Yeah.
Cool. That we'll also own. Okay. All right. You know what? Thank you guys.
It's been a great time.
So much. That was another News of My Fiance. Show made possible thanks to one Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our podcast editor, Kyle G of Residual Audio.
Bum, 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 bum.
I will make sure all the texts are added to the show and the playlist is updated. We got 3 more shows after the year, man.
Total.
We're creeping on the come up. We got next Monday, next Thursday, and then the following Monday, and then boom.
Break time, baby.
Silence till March 13th.
Whoa.
That's a lie. We'll be back in January.
Yeah.
I was just throwing some stuff out there.
Might be the first week, might be the second week.
I think
we've got the second week. Yeah, I think it's the second week.
Yeah.
We got some major moves happening within our household in January.
We do. And we got some things cooking up for you guys as well.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? And the news frontier. But you know what it is? Do not let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Tom Hartman. And if you're curious as to what we're up to, definitely check us out on the social medias, on News of My Fiance. Also, Morgan's Instagram and my Instagram. Me and Cliff are doing a little thing tonight. You know what I'm saying? Cliff of X-Ray. Hello.
Hello.
No
request. No requests.
Hello. Got a little thing going on tonight. So, you know, hey, you got some time, come check us out.
Where is it?
The Trough, I believe.
You're going to have to.
I was just going to say, you know, check out our social
media. Check out the Instagram.
Check out the instance. But yeah, thank you so much, man. We'll see you next week.
No war, but class war. Bye.